Hello, friends. It's your old pal, Ariel Helwani, back with another episode of DC and Helwani. Yes, we're back after a one-week hiatus. And my friends, let me just tell you something right here and now. This isn't just any kind of podcast. This is a feeling right here. You are going to feel this. This is like an ocean. This is as big as you make it, okay? So stay tuned for what will be a great episode. But before we get to it, a man who knows a thing or two about great episodes is my man, Scott Van Pelt, a.k.a. SVP. Do it with me now, like the RVD, SVP. Every week, he puts out an insightful but also hilarious episode of the SV Pod. So if you want to hear more from one of the best personalities at ESPN, then I suggest you check out the SV Pod wherever you get your podcasts. And of course, in case you didn't know, UFC 258 is this Saturday. And for more details on how to purchase the fight, just head over right now to ESPNplus.com/PPV or just click the link in the show notes of this episode. And how about this? When you gift a year of ESPN Plus, you're giving thousands of live events, exclusive originals, a full 30 for 30 library, and more. You can surprise the sports fan in your life with a year of ESPN Plus right now. Just visit ESPNplus.com/giftayear for more details. All right, now on to today's program, and a reminder, listener discretion is advised. Enjoy.
Now making their way to the microphone, DC and Helwani.
Not the guy to introduce my other show on the show. No, I mean,
listen,
come on.
Listen, sometimes we like the side piece more than the main squeeze.
I mean, you gotta stop making these references.
Here's Daniel Cormier and Ariel Helwani.
Back in your life on this second week of February 2021. Hello again, everyone. Welcome back to a brand new edition of DC and Helwani. That's DC, Daniel Cormier. I'm Helwani, Ariel Helwani. I've been here for the past 2 weeks. DC, it's nice of you to show up.
You know what's sad, man, is like last week I got the call, right? Mm. Oh, we're off for a week. Then I turn around, you're doing your original show. You can't be trusted. Listen, you can't be trusted. I thought everybody was off on Monday. Mm. Then I get people going, DC, why didn't you show up to work? Because not only... did you go and do your show? You and Dustin Poirier over here taking shots at me. Oh, I guess when Daniel Cormier won the fight, he goes back to his mansion in California, not Lafayette, Louisiana, trying to turn the great city of Lafayette against me, you and Dustin Poirier together. Who needs enemies if you have so-called friends like you and El Diamante?
Cap or no cap? Cap or no cap?
Oh, that's all cap. That's cap.
That is cap. Where do you go? Where do you go?
When I win, no cap, I go back to Lafayette after I come to California to drop my children off. After I bring my children home to get a couple nights in the bed, I go to Louisiana and spend time with the great folks in Lafayette. They love me out there.
They do. They certainly do. They will always love you. It's all fun and games. The good news about being off for a week is that there's a lot to talk about. A lot has happened since we last spoke. It's been 2 weeks since we've done a show, so we have a lot to get to. So much going on in the world of MMA, as always. Of course, this past weekend, you were in Las Vegas cage side. You did a fantastic job, I might add. I don't know what that is. You got notes.
Notepad is back. You know what I'm saying? I'm so tired of people coming at me like, coming to DC, ill prepared. But the show may get stiff and terrible because we're not just kind of going off the hip. You know, what makes it fun is that we go off the hip, but you guys want prepared? Okay, you get prepared.
We'll get prepared, DC. Frankie Edgar, Corey Sanhagen, Volkov, Overeem, all that and more. Of course, before we begin, I'd be remiss if I don't congratulate DC. I don't even remember which team. The Charlotte Hornets with a big win last night. Of course, the biggest story in sports. I think it was the Washington Wizards. So congratulations to Hornets Nation out there.
Are you out of your mind? Come on, man. I mean, I get it, bro. I'm mad too. We didn't win. You know,
listen,
we didn't win.
I was gonna ask them to put up the tweet that you sent out yesterday calling this man the greatest when six weeks ago you're calling Drew Brees the greatest. I mean, how dare you? That's why the people of Louisiana don't like you.
Listen, Ariel.
You had the audacity.
Now the people of Louisiana don't like me.
All of Louisiana. Did you not call him the greatest? Did you not? Did you not? Did you not?
Congratulations to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The NFC South once again shows why we are the best division of all football. But it's getting extremely difficult for me to argue that this man is the greatest of all time. It's hard. I mean, when you this dude now has
literally
more Super
sent
Bowl
a
wins,
tweet 2 weeks ago calling Drew Brees the greatest
in
of
my
all
heart,
time.
In my heart. But when you look at everything, and I mean, this guy has more Super Bowl wins than any organization in the NFL. Like, that's crazy. Yeah. 7 out of 10, he's
You'll
winning 70%.
You'll never hear me say that. You'll never
Come
hear
on,
me say
Ariel,
that.
Okay. Man. You got to give the man credit where credit's due.
And by the way, hey. Can I just say, I love all the Patriots fans claiming this as a victory. Like, you see
oh,
all
yeah.
these people,
how, that was
these
Saturday.
Claiming this as a victory. He left you guys because he didn't want to be a part of your organization.
No. They ran him out of there. Like, they ran him out of there. Yeah. Like, Bill Belichick decided this. He was done with Tom Brady and sent him off, shipped him off to Tampa. Nobody wanted Tom Brady.
You can't claim this.
They
it's
shipped
pathetic
him off
the way they're claiming
And now they're all so happy. And then, I mean, how shameless. How shameless.
Pathetic.
I mean, some of these guys are so shameless. Dana White. How shameless is Dana White? Dana White all of a sudden goes to Tampa Bay. Dana goes to Tampa Bay. He's talking trash to me. I must admit, I tried to get ahead of the trash talk last night, so I sent a very congratulatory text because he can be a bit much when it comes to his bragging and boasting. I told the boss, I go, hey, why don't you take the high road, right? When we lost to, I was like, sometimes you got to take the high road. He said, absolutely never. And I got ahead of it last night, texted him congratulations so that he didn't go in on me too much. But, I mean, come on, Patriots fans. All of a sudden, you guys all love the Bucs now. So you like the guy, not the team. Is that what we're doing now? So now I can
guess
go
what?
Like the
Brooklyn Nets. Here's the ultimate measure.
So can
the
I go like
measure.
The Nets now? Oh, I like James Harden, not
well,
the
you
Rockets.
Well, you did say that,
it?
Actually. You did kind of say that. Man. Here's the ultimate measure. If it was Patriots, Bucs in the Super Bowl, who are they rooting for? Rest assured, they're rooting for Tommy, as they call him, Tommy to fail. So get out of here with that nonsense, all right? Get out of here. All right, let's talk some fighting, DC. We got a lot to get to here on the show. And, you know, historically on this program, I say historically like we've been doing it for 15 years, but for the past 11 months or so.
Yeah,
we always
big year on this program. I mean, yeah, that's right. You got to be honest, it was a really big year, you know? This is an inside thing, you know, between the people in the know, but people – for you out there that aren't in the know, it was a really big year for the DC and El Wadi show. Big
listen,
year. Big,
listen.
Big. Hey, look.
Historically.
Like big.
Big. Very know, big.
Big.
We usually start with the main event.
Yes.
This time, we're not going to start with the main event. Well, because, dare I say, the bigger story coming out of Saturday night was the co-main. Corey Sanhagen knocking out Frankie Edgar in 28, 26 seconds. Who knows? They keep changing the time. I'm going to sit back and not say more because I want you and everyone else to apologize to me and Corey Sanhagen because I've been driving this bandwagon for a very long time. I said after the Aljo fight that he was going to be a future champion. So go ahead, tell everyone that I was right.
This is what I was going to say, right? I mean, we're going to start with the co-main event because you have a crush on Corey Sanhagen. I mean, let's not act like you
and
don't
hey,
have a crush on Corey Sanhagen.
Rightfully so or not?
Let's not act like you don't have a crush on Corey Sanhagen.
Rightfully so or not?
But. Dare I say?
Yes.
He has proven you correct in the last couple outings because, man, bro, when you put Marlon Moraes out in the way that he did with the spinning heel kick, and then you do that to Frankie Edgar, oh, Corey Sanhagen is the real deal. Aaron, he's the real deal. And from speaking to him all week in the fighter meetings, watching him as he prepared, watching him in the media and just his calmness – and this maturity that this young man has developed since losing to Aljo, you wondered if he could do what he was saying that he was going to be capable of doing inside the octagon. But I would say he over-delivered. He actually did better than he even was saying he was going to. He said he wanted to be the first one to submit Frankie Edgar. He'd never seen that happen before. He was confident that he could. Said he had some tricks up his sleeve. I asked him that in the post-fight interview. I mean, was that one of the tricks? He goes, I didn't even have to use them.
Wow. So yeah, it was so short.
You find a guy that takes a loss and builds off of it. I mean, Corey Sanhagen has all the momentum. How rare is it that you get a guy to lose in the way that he did, right? First round gets submitted in a fight that could have been for the title, and you go, dude's got some work to do. Two fights later, you're like, I need to see this guy fighting for the championship. Like, that's how quickly – and how good Corey Sanhagen has done a job of riding the ship. I mean, it was crazy, man. It was crazy to see. And we were just kind of getting started. At the beginning of the fight, you start to lay the foundation, right? You talk about how Frankie fights. You talk about Corey. We hadn't even got to Corey yet. I'm talking about how Frankie does a good job of moving his hands, his feet, and his head at the same time. How never the target's never just stationary. Before we can even get to what Corey does well, fight's over. beautiful flying knee. Crazy.
And I love that he doesn't look the part, right? He doesn't look the part, but yet and he certainly doesn't live the part. He's an environmentalist. He talks about the paper towels. He doesn't like to use that plastic, all that stuff. And then he talks on like the other side of the spectrum about like wanting to take someone's heart out and actually eat it. And like, I almost feel like he's being literal when he says this type of thing. This man is incredible. He is tall. He is lanky. He is quick. He is dynamic. He is powerful from all aspects of the, I mean, like, did you see that? DC, explain this to me. Cause you would know, I mean, throwing one of these, but you're the fighter. I'm not. Throwing that, like throwing a flying knee, like a jab like that, just out of nowhere. How much, like, what do you have to do to set that up? Because that was one of the most, I will say, those two knockouts, you know, I said, remind me, let me know if there have been two knockouts like that, spectacular knockouts like that, back to back, handed out by a single fighter in the history. And then I got people being like, oh,
I was about Hunter to say, here goes Ariel. Then, about to be Pat. I was about to say, here comes Patty LaBelle doing too much. No, I was about to say, here comes Ariel. About to be Patty LaBelle going
tell me, tell me again. Who has delivered? So people are like, Francis Ngannou knocked out Overeem.
Yep,
this.
Yep.
Okay, but that's a punch. We're talking about a spinning back kick and a flying knee. Who has done that? Tell me who has done that. Go ahead.
You know what I want to hear who has done that. What made it more impressive? What is it? It wasn't just a flying knee. He didn't go forward into Frankie. He went straight up. He allowed Frankie to walk into that position. Jeremy Stephens had a knockout like that a while ago. I think, was it Dennis Bermudez, where he stood like, the jumping knee? That reminded me of that. I don't know if I've seen someone put two back-to-back in the way that Sanhagen has. And once again, we are now clamoring for him to fight for the UFC championship because of those performances.
I'm not.
I want to see him fight for the belt. I really do.
It's not happening.
I don't see.
Here's the thing. It's not
happening.
I don't
see any reason why he should wait. But if he does, there are guys out there for him. But if you're Corey Sanhagen, you're in the driver's seat. I feel. I don't feel like you need to fight again after doing what he did, especially after the momentum he built going into the Aljo fight.
Okay. Here's the thing. He doesn't have to wait very long. The title fight is happening on March 6th. I mean, that's in less than a month at this point. So the time actually works out very well.
They're in line.
Yes. If Aljo wins, great story there. He goes for revenge. If Jan wins, fresh matchup. He's able to go after him. It's all well and good. But this is the fight I want. I want the TJ Dillashaw fight. That's the fight to make. They have a history together. They've trained together in the past. Give him that name. And you know, I saw some people, you know, I saw Chael say afterwards, oh, you know, he doesn't have the it factor or all this stuff. It factor, when you're pulling off knockouts like that, I mean, come on, what more do you need? Just put those on the highlight reel. Make those into a package. What more do you need? But give us.
No, me, not me. Don't talk for me. Don't talk for me. Like, I'm not saying us, the people. I'm not the people. Okay, give us, I'm not just the people.
Well, I was speaking on behalf of Team Sanhagen at this point. Give us
TJ
Dillashaw. Give us the former champ. Let's go. Okay.
So here's the thing, right? When we talk about the it factor, as Chael would have said, 135, there's only one guy with the it factor. There's only one guy that not the it factor. One guy has name value in the weight class.
Jose Aldo?
No.
Cody Garbrandt?
No.
Who is it?
TJ Dillashaw. He's the only one.
Well, TJ Dillashaw. Dominic Cruz out there.
TJ Dillashaw is the guy. I'm talking about at this in this circle, right? Okay. When you're talking about the guys that Sanhagen could fight, there's only one guy that has the name value, and that's TJ, right? Obviously, Dom, longtime champion. Jose Aldo, longtime champion. Those guys are well known. But in terms of where they're fighting today, the high level, because TJ's been gone for so long, has to be Dillashaw, right? Because he feels like he's still young enough and fresh enough to compete with these guys like Piotr Jan, Aljamain Sterling, all the guys at the title picture. They aren't the most well-known guys in the weight class. I would even say today, Davison Figueiredo is known more than the bantamweight guys right around the title picture right now, except for TJ Dillashaw.
Aljo's so yes, pretty well known.
That's a big name. That's a big name for him. But I think he waits. Fight TJ Dillashaw for the belt, because you can have a win over a guy like that, but if a belt's on the line, it makes it even bigger.
Well, I'll say this. He certainly deserves it, in my opinion, and the timing works out. And honestly, you can't make a case for anyone else, right? Like, TJ's not getting
so mad at me. These guys are all going to be so mad at me.
Who?
The bantamweights, like, I can't believe you didn't stop me. I can't believe you allowed for me to go on this rant. Like, these guys are going to be so mad
at
me.
You said only one guy is the It Factor, and I named like three other guys. You go and
name three other guys. Yeah. But these guys are going to be so mad at me. I mean, I wrote my notes. Why did I write that? Like, why? Daniel, stop when you start to go down this path. Like, all right. Why didn't I come? I mean, come
listen,
forward.
You can't be afraid. This is how you feel. This is how you feel.
No,
it's a respectable opinion.
Listen.
They're sensitive.
Why didn't you stop me? You're no friend.
Listen.
You're no friend.
It's a strong point because he's a former champion at 135, but so is Dominic Cruz, Jose Aldo, former champion at 145. I mean, let's just kind of pretend like it never happened. Let's do that. Here's the thing. I feel like he deserves it. I don't think they're going to give it to him. I think they're going to try to make him fight one more time, and I feel like the biggest name out there, like you could go no wrong. You could go with Aldo. You could go with the winner of Cruz, Kenny, if you want. You could certainly go with TJ Dillashaw. That would be my pick. This man, I want them to clip it off. I want the world to know. I want the world to know I said it after the Aljo loss. The loss. This man will be a future UFC champion. He has. Like it's it. So crazy because actually when I see him walking down to the cage, he has the It Factor in my opinion. He is that guy.
Ariel, you like yes. the guy. Like, and you like the guy. Like you have a crush on Corey Sandhagen. So of course he has the It Factor to you. You're watching the
crush?
Guy.
I
you
can have a crush see on, talent. You know, I'm always watching the guy. I'm the only like, one oh who said goodness. Connor was going to be a champ. I'm the only one. Now I'll say Corey Sandhagen would be a champion. Like I just I
wait, you
I
weren't
said,
the only one
I
that said Daniel, Connor was going to be a champion.
I said Daniel Cormier is going to be a legend, not just a champion, a legend. Okay. Oh, I said you should go up to heavyweight.
Oh my goodness, look at you. Right
I see
now.
These things. I see these things.
So now you're like you predict stuff now, right?
I don't predict stuff. I just have an eye for talent. I mean, I have a nose for these things. Okay? Okay. I can smell them out. Listen, Frankie Edgar, what do we do about him now? Ooh. Is he done? Because, you know, it's funny. I was talking to his coach, Mark Henry, and I said, how's he feeling? And he said, he's fine. He wins a fight. He has a million cuts all over his face, right? He's bruised. He loses like that. There's nothing. Of course, as we know, it's the internal in a fight like that, right? I mean, like, this is obviously worse for the long term because you get knocked out brutally out cold like that. It's going to affect you, especially at this age. Do we want to see him keep fighting?
I do believe Frankie can still fight. No doubt about it. I think he can still go with the best fighters in the world. But does he need to?
Horrible matchup.
But does he need
to this matchup?
Absolutely. But does he need to is the question, right? You lose this fight against Corey Sandhagen. Look, you made your run at the top, right? You went to a new division. You fought two of the best in the world right away. You fought Pedro Munhoz. Then you fought Corey Sandhagen. When you got to the very top of that division, it didn't work out in your favor. So there are still a lot of great fights for Frankie Edgar. I don't know if it needs to be against the Aljos and the Sandhagens and the Jans. I just don't know if it needs to be those fights. But can he still fight? Absolutely. He can absolutely still compete. I just don't know what the ceiling is at this new weight class because these guys are crazy. These guys are fantastic, man. But there's some fun fights out there still. Imagine if Dominic wins, right? Dominic wins against
Casey.
Casey. And you look at
By
that.
Way, if Dominic loses.
Yeah, I mean, I know. But I don't want to say if Dominic loses. Like, you should never put that energy in the world. Dom gets so saying. Mad. I'm just saying, Dominic, Dom's going to get you. What? Dom's going to get you.
No, I'm saying,
just saying Dom's going to get you.
It would make sense, right? I mean,
yes, it would make sense. Up. That's a fight that we've all, oh man, imagine Dominic Cruz versus Frankie Edgar when they were both champions, right? Like,
right.
Or when, especially when Dom came to 45, when Frankie came to 45, Dom had the belt. It's like, right. You had these ideas of these matchups, but that's not it, though. Dom was 135 and Frankie came to 145. You're like, oh, maybe these guys fight at some point. But like, there are a lot of guys that he can still fight with. There are a lot of guys that he can still beat. A lot of these good guys he can still beat. But the very, very top, the elite of the elite, it's going to be very difficult for him to beat those guys. They're just, I mean, that was so scary, Arrow. I mean, you watch your people that you respect so dearly. Frankie Edgar, Alistair Overeem. You see these guys get beat up like that at the end of the career. Or knocked out in the way Frank did. And it's almost like a funeral. Like, it's all, if this showed Saturday to me what fighting looks like when you don't have the crowd to hide the true emotion of the people that are tasked with telling you about the moment. Because it was a small arena, nobody's in there. And when Corey Sandhagen did that, it was quiet, right? It was out.
Yeah.
We had to be reminded We have to celebrate what this young man just did. I understand it was horrible. It was bad, right, to see Frankie go out like that. But you guys have to celebrate what Corey did. If it's in an arena of 20,000 people, crowd's going so crazy, you don't even pay attention to it. But it was eerie how quiet it got in that the apex because of the way Frankie went down. He was shaking on the ground. He was down for a while. Hmm. You could see him wanting to get up, but he just couldn't get his body to come to get back to the seat. It was scary.
I would still like to see him fight. I think he will fight.
Yeah, he should.
I thought it was a bad choice. I didn't like the matchup for him. Corey Sandhagen, I think, is championship material. Frankie was still building himself up as a 135er. There's a gap between Sandhagen and Munoz. Why jump from Munoz to Sandhagen? I mean, Sandhagen to me is like 1C in that division, but it sounds based on his Instagram that he's going to keep on going. I just hope when you take a knock like that, you take appropriate time off. You don't go spar. You don't go to the gym. You need to get better soon. So I wish Frankie the best.
Well, you take time because remember, Moraes, right? Yeah. Moraes.
Yeah. Marlon came back too soon.
Came back too soon. And Rob Font put him out, right? Like put him out bad. You got to let the brain refresh. And I think that's one thing that Stipe Miocic gets credit for. Every time he has tough fights, right? Got knocked out by me after fighting me quickly after Francis, took a year. Took a lot of damage in the next fight, took a year. And then against Francis, now he's taking a lot of time. It's much closer, but he allows his chin to get refreshed whenever he was getting rocked with punches too much. But I think Frankie needs to take some time. Even in though Stipe's time defense, is not on
I don't side. Know if he wanted to take a year after the first loss, if we're being honest. I think there were some other factors involved there. Well,
you wanted to fight in November. You wanted to fight me in November, but then it took some time, right? Like it took some time. And ultimately, it benefited him. It was better for him to let his chin refresh. And now he can take a shot. You know, it's like shots that might have knocked him down before doesn't. And that's good for him.
All right. Now let's talk about the main event because it had a similar vibe, right? You see a legend get beat up like that. It's a weird thing in this sport because you want to celebrate the youth. You want to celebrate the newcomer. You want to celebrate the fresh face, if you will, the new contender, a guy who's never had a chance to fight for a belt or win a UFC belt, of course. And then on the flip side, you see a legend like Frankie, a legend like Alistair Overeem, who, by the way, Alistair Overeem had won two in a row, had won 4 or 5, was potentially en route to beating Jairzinho Rozenstruik. He would be on a 5-fight winning streak at this point in his 40s. But holy smokes, like that was a one-sided fight, right? That was a beatdown from Alexander Volkov. Why was Volkov so dominant and so successful against Overeem? Because it looked like Overeem had nothing for him from the beginning.
You know what's kind of crazy? That for as bad as the Sandhagen-Edgar fight was, the knockout, mm-hmm. I felt like the Overeem fight was even worse.
Because it was longer?
Because it was extended, yeah. And you just saw the difference in the level, right? The one thing Frankie can rely on is like, well, what would have happened if I didn't get knocked out, right? He can lead. There's a question out there. There's no question that Alistair Overeem can beat Alexander Volkov today. I mean, from the very start of the fight, Volkov just pieced him up, man. And you see, later in Overeem's career, he's done a good job of like shelling up, right? Like mm-hmm. covering his head. But Volkov was throwing, wrapping around that guard and then throwing that jab up the middle and just broke his nose like quick. Like Volkov looked fantastic. And it's hard because when you have those guys, those legends, we tend to spend more time talking about them than the actual person that put on the performance. It wasn't about what Alistair didn't do. It just showed you that Alexander Volkov is real and he's ready to go and compete with the best fighters in the world. And I will say this today. If you don't have a wrestling threat and you're fighting Alexander Volkov with the way that he has improved and the way that he's learned to manage space and distance with his power, they ain't beating him. I don't think any of these dudes are going to beat him if they can't get to him. I know Derek Lewis beat him and knocked him out, but Derek Lewis rushed him and he was losing the whole time, caught him with something. Curtis Blaydes wrestling him the whole time in order to beat him, and then he couldn't take him down at the end of the fight, and Volkov was starting to find success on the feet. If you can't go take this man down consistently, you're going to find yourself in a lot of problems because this dude throws that nasty front kick that he beat Walt Harris with. And then that jab and that 1-2, bro, he smashed Overeem. It was never a competition. It was never in doubt. From the moment they started fighting and you saw him find his range and rhythm, you knew right away Alistair was in trouble and he was not going to win that fight. And I was happy when he went down. Because he would have just taken more and more damage.
Great stoppage by referee Jason Herzog, who continues to be one of the best in the sport. By the way, in my opinion, biggest difference between that Alexander Volkov of a couple fights ago, even the Greg Hardy fight, like it wasn't that impressive that he beat 15 minutes. It went the distance. And this Alexander Volkov, especially in the last two fights, Walt Harris and Alistair Overeem, he weighs 20 pounds more.
He looks big, right?
Yes. His legs. He used to weigh in 245, 247. Now he's weighing in 265 or so. So I think he's added muscle and you see the power. That guy is a problem. I'd like to see him fight the winner of the Jairzinho Rozenstrike Cyril Gane fight, which happens later on this month. I think that would make a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Fresh matchup for both. I think Cyril Gane is a future contender as well. But man, that guy with that height, that reach, that power, that guy's a problem.
And he's Alexander aggressive Volkov now.
Is a problem.
Yes. Right? He's aggressive now. Like he, before Volkov, even in the Hardy fight, he was much too okay with the fight going the distance. He never really put his feet on the pedal to go and get Greg Hardy. The last couple fights, he went at Walt Harris. Every time he seemed to hurt Walt or felt like he was hurting Walt with anything, he would kind of empty the tank. And if Walt was able to fight back, he would back off. With Overeem, he wasn't just touching him. He was really setting down on things. And you could see it in Volkov. It's not the upper body. The upper body looks pretty similar. You have to look at his legs and his ass. He's so big now down low. And that's where the power comes from, right? It comes from the trunk. He's just sitting down on Overeem, touching him. And then because Overeem does the shell defense, he started coming up the middle with an uppercut, and he would go uppercut and then wrap the hook around the guard. And I'm telling you, I was so happy when Alistair fell. I was like, this is good for him so he doesn't take more damage from this big monster, Volkov.
You want to see him fight again? Or do you think he fights again?
Volkov.
No, Overeem.
Alistair? You know what? I think Alistair fights again. I do think he fights again because – it's what he does. And, you know, talking to him last week before the fight, he said he was going to fight through the contract at minimum. But I really wish his approach was more, I'm going to ride this thing until I stop winning, and then I'm going to kind of be done. Right. You know, like he had 1-2 in a row, beat Jairzinho for 24 minutes and 35 seconds, you know. Could have had been 5 in a row. I would have said fight it until you run into a person that's going to really beat you up. And then say, I'm done. You know, he's got to have made a ton of money at this point. He's well known. He can go coach. I mean, I don't know. I wish I, after seeing that, I don't think he needs to fight again, but he will.
A lot of great performances, including Alexander Volkov and Corey Sanhagen. Shout out to Beneil Dariush with another great win, 6 in a row, and also for just being a Hall of Fame mensch, saying that he wanted his teammate to come in. Thought he was going to call someone out. In fact, he says that he wants his teammate to get signed by the UFC. So Beneil Dariush, one of the good guys in the sport. And
yes, he is.
Continues.
And Rafael Cordero, right? Rafael Cordero and those guys are building some momentum. Some new guys coming out of that team from Dariush to the light heavyweight kid that fought a little earlier in the card, submitted. I can't remember either of these guys' names right now, but I can't remember either name. But the kid fought well, right? Kid's 2-0 Marquez. His name was Marquez.
Yes.
2-0 in the UFC now. And getting a submission victory, building some momentum. Hey, training Mike Tyson. This dude ain't lost in a minute. Rafael Cordero's on fire.
He's been around forever.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
There I am watching the card on Saturday, and all of a sudden, who do I see? I see the Syracuse legend, the Cleveland Browns legend. I see Jim Brown getting some love. And, you know, for a minute there, I popped because one issue that I've had over the years is I don't feel like the UFC acknowledges and celebrates its history enough. I've said this on the show before. We don't have a proper Hall of Fame in MMA. I don't think the sport acknowledges its history enough. There aren't a lot of good books about the history of the sport. The legends aren't acknowledged. And so there I see Jim Brown, like, wow, I think a lot of people probably even forgot or didn't even know the football legend and lacrosse legend, by the way. Jim Brown was the first color analyst. And then I see them make the connection to our very own DC of DC and Helwani fame. It was nice. They showed the shot of you in Portland. You're wearing a tie. You're all snazzy. I thought we would go like all the way to like the evolution of you being on this show and getting a show on ESPN, but they kind of stopped short right at that point. But that must have been cool, right? I mean, being in the same sort of package, same breath as Jim Brown, that's a big deal. That's a huge honor.
It was a massive honor for me to see that and see that live and not really know that what was going on. You know, I got,
they surprised you with that?
Yeah, they just kind of surprised me. Like, anytime you're in the conversation or spoken in the same breath as Jim Brown, you get excited. And to see that he called the UFC, we obviously know what he did playing football, right? Very short career, but his impact still is felt today. For as short as Jim Brown played football, for people to still speak about him as one of the greatest football players of all time, one of the best running backs to ever do it. He didn't play the game long. He was a massive advocate for social justice. He was a guy that tried to really help our community. And it feels good for me to be mentioned in that breath and also to be and recognize as the first guy since Zufa bought it to be African-American and be at the desk doing commentary. It was huge, man. And it made my mom very happy. You know, she was very happy about it. She was excited.
Your mom watches live every week?
Oh, she like, they, hey, listen, my mom's sick now, right? She's not doing that well. She stays at home, but she makes sure they turn the fights on, especially if I'm working them. So
wow,
they just put it on
awesome.
And let her watch the fights. Yeah, she loves it.
7 hours she can hear her son on television and to
seven,
to
seven
be
hours she, well in between naps, you know, like mom yeah, thinks about a nap every 30-45 minutes she goes back to sleep. But listen. Yeah, man, she's always been a massive fan of the UFC, and I think it's great for the UFC to recognize, you know, and spotlight, you know, African Americans that are doing great things inside the company, you know. So it was good for, it was good. I was very happy because I don't remember a time where, you know, there was much done to honor and do, you know, Black History Month stuff. I don't know. I can't speak to that as fact, but it was huge to see that from the UFC. I really appreciate it.
And as you just said, the reason for that package airing this past weekend was because it is Black History Month. But we here at ESPN,
yes,
we believe in Black history always. I know you saw my little report.
I love that.
At the basketball game last week. And for more Black history always storytelling, you can go to theundefeated.com, who does a tremendous job of covering all things Black mm-hmm. history, current and previous, and just do a great job of spotlighting that that kind of storyline, each and every week, each and every day, not just for one particular month out of the year, theundefeated.com.
Yeah. Yes, it's every day. Like, and I love that. I love that. When you said that at the Bucks game, I was like, oh, that's real good, you know, and I realized that, you know, ESPN was doing it. And history is to be celebrated constantly, right? African-American history, any race's history should be celebrated constantly. And I'm glad that it's not just 1 month. ESPN wants to shine a light for the entire year on what these great African-American people in history have done, these special things.
And wouldn't you know it? This weekend, we have the first African-born champion in UFC yep. history, still the champion, the return of the Nigerian nightmare, Kamaru Usman. Yes. What is it again? Kamaru Usman. When you see him, do you refer to him as Kamaru Usman?
No, Kamaru.
Okay.
I used to call him Marty. Like, when we were wrestling, I used to call him Marty.
I thought we were past
all like calling him that, but now, Kamaru. I mean, and you know what? He preferred that even back then. But he's just a young wrestling kid that didn't really speak on his time. Now he's a man and he's very proud of his heritage and his name. And he uses it. He says he wants us to call him that proudly. And we all do.
Big time title fight, UFC 258 this weekend. We just had a UFC pay-per-view and now we get another one. Like what? 2-3 weeks later, it's Kamaru Usman versus Gilbert Burns. And look, if you're a fan of fighting, if you're a fan of like the analytical part of fighting, the matchup, this guy versus this guy, and you just like mixed martial arts for what it is, you love this fight. Gilbert had a great 2020. He's been on a roll. Kamaru is one of the most dominant champions in welterweight history, and he's been on some kind of roll as of late and some kind of run in the UFC. I mean, he's just ran through everyone. But if you're a fan of storylines, DC.
No, like you.
like you too. Don't just get you out of bed, boy.
That gets you out of bed at night.
Hey, teammate versus teammate. Come on. This is some big time stuff right here. Kamaru Usman, Gilbert Burns, teammates in South Florida. And then all of a sudden, Kamaru Usman has to go to Colorado to team up with the great team over there. Trevor Whitman, Justin Gaethje, even bringing back old friend Eddie Alvarez to the mix to help him prepare. This is rich stuff. And it kind of got me wondering, like, wow, we haven't seen this. Honestly, John Jones, Rashad Evans, UFC 145, we know what happened there. Yep. For years, you know, people said Daniel Cormier versus Cain Velasquez at AKA. For years, people said John Fitch versus Josh Koscheck. Those never happened. This is very rare stuff to see two teammates, now ex-teammates, fighting for the ultimate prize. If you're a fan of storylines, this one's for you, my man. And I know you love it as well. Don't pretend like you don't.
This is absolutely fantastic, right? Because
oh, so you like seeing the teammates break up.
Well, because not only is it a great story, right? Because you want to see what Gilbert Burns took from those training sessions that makes him so confident he can beat the champion. But also the fact that this is the best fight we can make at welterweight. I know how great the Covington versus Usman fight was, but I think this is the best fight you could make at welterweight right now, because Gilbert Burns has looked like an absolute savage since going up to that weight class. In the wins that he had last year, the knockout of Damian Maia, him and Tyron Woodley was a squash match by the end of it. And Tyron fought hard. Tyron didn't give up on himself like he has at times. He continued to try to win the fight. He continued to press. So Gilbert Burns got a good Tyron Woodley, a very good Tyron Woodley, and just really did beat him up. He has the type of fighting style that would seem to be a problem for Usman, because Usman has always been able to control every interaction in his fights, right? That's why he's been so dominant. He wrestles whenever he has a striker in front of him. He strikes when he have a grappler in front of him. But can he do that with a guy that has inside information on his skill set, on his setups, on the way that he enters into his takedowns? Or how much have they changed those things since he's been in Colorado now? Because now it's been a year, right? It's been a year since he's been in Colorado. So
almost
there's some time spent away from the team that have allowed for him to reset and get things better. And I watched Countdown yesterday. Usman's mindset is really underrated. His mindset and his ability to prepare up top. He's got an ironclad mental. Like, this dude is so mentally strong. Physically, obviously, he's a big, strong guy. But his toughness is something that a lot of people overlook. And I think that was on full display in the Covington fight. That's why he won it in the way that he did, because that was not easy. It was a very difficult fight, and he got a finish over Kobe Covington, who has been fantastic himself, and now he gets an even bigger test in his teammate Gilbert Burns.
And you know what's an underrated storyline going into this fight? The man who is getting a lot of praise for what they're doing over there in South Florida, originally with the Black Zillions, now, of course, with Sanford MMA. They've got a great team over there, is Henry Hooft. Henry Hooft, because he has a relationship with Usman, helped develop him into the champion that he is, and a relationship with Burns, helped develop him into the contender that he is, has said, I'm stepping aside. I'm not a part of this one. I'm not cornering Gilbert Burns, right? Much like Greg Jackson when Rashad Evans and John Jones fought back in 2012. And so Gilbert is losing a head coach. Kamaru is gaining
one
of the best minds, and my coach of the year of 2020, Trevor Whitman. That's a big deal. One guy's losing, the other guy's gaining. I don't know how much that affects the fight, but I feel like that's interesting. And if Henry is to be believed, and I believe him, he'd even help him in the preparation for this fight, let alone fight week and fight night. That's a big deal.
So who's working with Burns? Who's coaching Burns in preparation for the fight? Who is Burns using as a pad holder, as a striking coach? That would be interesting to find out. You know everything. Tell me, who is holding the pads for him? Who's the striking coach?
Well, Gilbert and I haven't spoken in a while, you know. He was everything okay there? What's going on?
I was just trying to burp. Oh, drinking too much coffee.
Oh. By the way, did you do that on the broadcast on Saturday? A lot of people.
No, I did not. Okay. Bro, how stupid are people to think that you would just sit there and shit your pants in the middle of a television broadcast? Like, people are ridiculous.
I said burp. I thought it was a burp.
Like,
it sounded
like people are ridiculous. Like, you're sitting there. Like, so it's. I listened to it. It's obviously someone scooted a chair across the floor. But, like, yo, fans are simple. Like, how simple are people? In this world. Listen, guess what's so stupid?
You know, Deron Wynn was the one who was like really, you know.
I fancy you a smart guy.
Yes.
You text me. Did you just fart? Like, are you crazy? Like, who would do that? You guys are stupid. Somebody scooted a chair across the floor, you idiot.
That was someone else. Yeah. Listen, this is big time stuff because of the storyline, because of the coaches, because of the change in camps, and because DC, how many times do you think these guys have sparred against each other,
right? Man.
Like when Masvidal fight Usman, when he fought him in July. Like, that was the first time they
ever been together. Yep.
These guys know each other. I mean, how much has Kamaru really changed in the past 8-9 months? Probably not that much, right? Maybe a little thing here or there. These guys know each other extensively. That's what's so interesting about it. This rarely happens. This special stuff. Yes.
Somebody knows. Yes. Somebody knows. Couldn't, right?
I've heard whispers.
Somebody knows.
You've heard whispers. Who gets the better of who? You've heard the whispers.
No, I don't know about that, but somebody knows, right? Okay. Rashad Evans knew, right? Rashad Evans knew going into that fight. He knew. I knew. That's why I didn't do it. I knew, right? But it was a matter of you just not. Like, people in the world didn't. So there was some intrigue there. But I knew. I knew when I
so if you were be- if you were better than Kane, you would have done the fight?
No, I wouldn't have done it, but I'm saying I knew, right? Sure. I didn't do it for all the right reasons.
There's no mystery. There's no mystery.
But I knew. I was like, I can't beat this dude, right? Especially at the time they were calling for him. I can't beat this dude. I can't beat Cain Velasquez.
Did you ever really seriously consider it, even for a minute?
Never for a second, because first off, I didn't want to hurt the family. I thought that we were so close and we were so important to each other's careers that there was no way that I was going to do that. But I also knew, like, I'm glad I don't have to do this. Mm-hmm. Because I know that this dude's going to beat me. Like, someone knows. That's another thing in this fight. One of those guys knows. And I can't tell you who that person is. Because when you listen to them, they both sound extremely confident, as you would expect two guys going into a title fight. But there's a guy between those two that knows who's winning those sparring sessions. And those questions, if it starts to turn into that same exact type of situation out in that octagon,
What are you writing right now? What exactly are you writing?
Those doubts will start to creep back into your mind.
Oh, that's what makes it so interesting. Okay, so I was wondering about that. Were you around when they were trying to do Fitch and Koscheck?
Yeah.
How awkward was that?
No. What year was it?
This was like 2009, 2008. That era. Wait,
if it was 8, I wasn't. So I got there towards the end of 9. I think Koscheck was about to fight for championship.
Okay, but so Fitch still was, around the same time.
Yeah, Fitch was back on a long winning streak.
Yeah.
Right? And so, yeah, those guys never really, like...
They never considered it. They would get mad.
It didn't seem like it was going to be a thing. But again, even in that situation, somebody knew, right? And we in the gym knew, just like people in the gym knew when me and Kane was far how it would go. People know, man. And the guys at Sanford MMA know. Right. So I don't know. And I wish I did know who got the better of those sparring sessions.
Well, we'll find out on Saturday. That's a really interesting fight. We got the return of Macy Barber. Looking forward to seeing how she does a year plus since her last fight, tearing her ACL. Big fight for her against Alexa Grasso. No longer training with Ben Askren, by the way, and Rufus Sport. She went to Israel Martinez and Mike Valley in Chicago. So I'm looking forward to seeing that. And everything else that goes down at UFC 258. All right, quick break in the action. We got to talk about the lightweight picture and everything going on with Michael Chandler and Dustin Poirier and Charles Oliveira and, of course, Conor McGregor. But first...
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Ariel 21.
The best was when you were like, hey, you did the Poirier interview last week and you used my graphics, clearly showing that you've never looked at the show on the podcast. It's been like that since September, but alas, I don't
know. The issue was that you went behind my back, you know, the snake that you are, and did your old show. You went and did your old show, and instead of using work, your dog. Own graphics.
I don't have no fancy contract like you. I'm here to work. Speaking of fancy contracts. Let's talk
about
Michael
Chandler.
You go
and do your own show.
I'm not going to
do your own show
slander.
And don't even bother to use your own show graphic.
Hey, listen, I'm not saying any of that. Okay, so last week when I was doing my own show, actually.
Oh, my goodness. It felt good to be back on your own, didn't it?
Hey, this is a great transition right here. I spoke to Michael Chandler, Charles Oliveira, and Dustin Poirier.
Fancy guy, right? Fancy guy talked to everybody. I talked to this dude.
Hey, who's
you? You are just so boastful. I mean, you listen. I tried to get an interview with Dustin Poirier. He told me no. I'm speaking to Ariel.
He's not a big fan. He's not a big fan. Listen, first I talked to Charles. Charles tells me, I want Dustin Poirier, and I want it to be for the belt. I was like, all right, you know, he has a case, 8 in a row, 7 of 8 finishes, most subs ever, all that stuff. He's got a case. Then I talked to Michael Chandler next, and he's like, I was supposed to fight at 258, February 13th. I was like, what, 258, like literally in less than 2 weeks? He says, yes, they offered me. You're reacting like you haven't seen this. So clear. Clearly, you boycotted the interview. And he said he was he was offered a fight. He was offered a fight at 258. He was eating a steak with his wife in Nashville, where they live, put his fork down shortly thereafter, got on a plane, and went to Florida to start preparing for February 13th. Now, he wouldn't tell
against
me
who.
He wouldn't tell me who it was against. Come to find out, ask around, ask my sources. It was Charles Oliveira. Charles Oliveira turned it down because they were in need of a co-main event because Chris Weidman and Uriah Hall fell off because Chris got COVID. Oliveira said, I'm not taking this fight on less than 2 weeks' notice. It's not for the belt. What's the point of this? This guy had just been training. Short fight against Dan Hooker. I'm not training. This makes no sense. And now we'll get to the Poirier-McGregor part in a second. But first, let me ask you this. Agree or disagree with Oliveira's decision to not take the fight?
I think when you get into this position, right, where you've won, you build some momentum, you got to be very careful, especially if you've never fought for the belt.
Tough call. And
it's I don't believe it. You do it and it's a favor to the company. But if you don't do it, I believe that Charles Oliveira doesn't know, you know, especially with Michael Chandler, right? Still a bit of an unknown, the way he looked against Dan Hooker. Is he still getting better? Especially when you feel like you're right on the verge of getting a title fight. So not necessarily. I think you got to be a little bit careful, more careful when you've built the momentum that he has.
You know, with my kids, we have like a chart and everyone gets like checks if they do something good and X's if they do something bad, right? And we tally them up at the end of the week and maybe you get a prize or something like that. If Michael Chandler had his own little chart, this guy has been getting checks all day. I mean, he is Mr. Brownie Points. Michael Brownie Points Chandler. I mean,
Brownie Points? Yes. Wait, that's not Brownie Points. How's that? Listen.
He's the man.
Okay. Brownie Points, but not brown nosing.
No, no. I'm saying Brownie Points.
And I'm saying people get a bit confused, right?
No, they go, I'm saying brown
nosing.
He's
a brown noser. He's a teacher's pet. No, I've seen that on my stuff. Everybody's on this Michael Chandler thing. He's a teacher's pet. Listen, what is wrong with saying yes to something? Yeah, no, I'm not saying you're one of those people. I'm saying I see that. I see that sentiment, right? Like, why? Well, Michael Chandler's a teacher's pet. Michael Chandler's doing what he needs to do first to get his title shot or build good favor. Because guess what? If there's a time, and I don't even understand how people can ever have a problem with this. Michael Chandler goes and fights that fight on 3 weeks' notice, right? He wins, they'll put him in a title fight. He loses, he won't be far away. Mm-hmm. Michael Chandler steps up and fights in a short notice position, Dan Hooker, right? Say he would have fought Habib in that situation and lost. Habib would have retired, and they needed somebody to fight for that belt. You know who might get the call again? Michael Chandler, because what happens whenever you do that. So people always going, this dude's a company man, and this guy, dude, it benefits you. If I could tell you guys one thing, fans are fighters. When you're getting asked for stuff, consider it. Because the reality is, it's going to benefit you down the line.
Listen, I have lived my entire professional life by this motto. 80% of success is just showing up. Show up, right? Listen, I didn't want to get on a plane last week to go do that Bucks game. I was nervous as hell. Hey, by the way, everyone who made fun of me for not leaving my house for 10 months, not only did I leave my house, how many of you have gone on a plane? I told you I was nervous, right?
I kind of talked you off the ledge there a little bit. Like you did. You were scared.
We were scared. But guess what? I showed up. I did the job. I came home. So Michael Chandler, I'm not knocking the guy.
You know what your bosses are saying? You know what your NBA bosses are saying? Hey, man, Ariel, we can call on him.
That's right. So I'm not – by the way, I agree with both decisions. How about that? I agree with Oliveira saying no, and I agree with Chandler saying yes. How about that? Chandler was in shape. He was ready to go.
I'm saying
– but now here's the problem. Here's the problem. Does Oliveira get punished for saying no? Does he get put to the back of the line? Because it sounds like they might be going in the direction of Chandler Gaethje now, and Oliveira is the odd man out.
And guess what? Sometimes that happens. That's not wrong.
Tough. Sometimes 8 in a row.
You go in a different direction, right? Like I'm telling you, man, it's all about just making things happen. One guy says no, then go figure something out. Because it sounds like you said Chandler Gaethje is going to fight next, right? That still ain't for the belt. So they're still in the same position. They're both just fighting again. If Habib gives the belt up, Now who's fighting in the other half of that equation to go into a title
right there? You stalled right there. When you said Khabib, you took a dramatic pause. What do you know?
I'm saying if Khabib gives up the belt, right, which is what he's saying, who's in the other half of that equation? Are they going to do Gaethje versus Chandler and then Poirier versus someone else? You're Oliveira. You hope that you're that someone else. That's all I'm saying.
What do you know, Daniel? What do you know?
I know nothing. I know nothing, Jon Snow.
It looks okay. Perfect. You're good at these transitions. So now it looks 2 weeks later, we're going back in the direction of DP versus Connor 3.
Really?
Like it? Yeah, that's the direction we're going. Now, the big question is, this is the big question, belt or not? That seems to be up in the air still. I think there's a chance they still don't make it for the belt. How about that?
I think Dustin.
You don't like the fight?
I like the fight. I think it's the fight to make. It's the third fight. I think when you run into some issues is, again, I think a couple weeks ago I said I would prefer them fighting for the championship. I do believe that when you look at it as a whole, it's going to look odd.
You walking that back?
I'm saying it's going to look odd.
Khabib called you, said he's mad about that?
No, he didn't. I'm saying it's going to look odd that they're fighting for the belt when
Dustin should be fighting for a belt next.
Yes. And I do believe that him and Connor should get the trilogy going. I think you make Dustin make a choice in terms of weighing what's valuable to him. You want the big fight or you want the championship?
Can I both?
Because I think if you want the championship, you fight Oliveira. If you want the big fight, you fight McGregor again. That's what I think.
Can I both? But
I just don't know. I don't know if they're going to give Conor a title shot right after losing like that.
One thing that Dustin told me in my conversation, he's like, look, I should get the belt right now. As you said,
I agree with that. Yeah,
but here's the thing. He said, because when you're the champion, you get pay-per-view points. Dustin, you don't need to be a champion to get pay-per-view points. No. You should be getting pay-per-view points right now. This man's in a Super Bowl ad, for God's sakes.
It doesn't work like that with everyone. It doesn't
work like that. Okay, but you beat Conor McGregor, you should get it
on the back end. You go back into the McGregor fight, and if you do, that makes that decision very easy. That makes that decision whether or not to go fight for the belt or take the third fight with Conor McGregor very easy. You go fight Conor.
Very easy.
Right? Yes. You go get paid.
That check.
You go get paid. But I think that it's just very difficult from an outsider perspective to see a guy get knocked out in the way Conor did and then him in a championship fight. But, I can't really say that, right? Because Alexander Gustafsson got knocked out and fought me for the belt. So there's
certainly not the first person.
Before. No.
Listen, so this is one of those things where – this is one of those things, let's be honest, where there's no real wrong answer. Like,
no, there's no real Oliveira wrong answer.
That's a good problem to have.
You know where the wrong answer is?
Who?
You know who there's a wrong answer for?
Who?
Charles Oliveira. What? There's a wrong answer for Charles Oliveira now.
What do you mean?
Because if they go Gaethje versus Chandler now, and they go Conor versus Dustin and make that a title fight,
right?
You think Charles Oliveira is going to sit and then go into a title fight after that?
I see what you're saying.
Now he'll be the odd man out because the winner of Gaethje and Chandler will probably get that next championship fight. So, yes, there is a wrong answer, a bad answer. And the bad answer is only for the guy that's number five.
I want to be very clear because I know people will get mad when I say this. I want to be very clear. Charles Oliveira and Dustin Poirier, if we're talking about meritocracy, if we're talking about who's been the hottest, who deserves it, that should be the fight, right?
Yes, yes.
Dustin Poirier's next fight should be for a belt.
Yes.
And he should earn the right to fight for the belt and get the biggest fight. And so if that's Conor, I won't be too upset. And it's not because I'm wanting to reward Conor McGregor. It's because I want to reward Dustin Poirier. Mm-hmm. He should be fighting for a belt next. Also, it's very easy to promote this fight. They're 1-1. The last one wasn't for the belt. He won, Conor won in 2014. Now there was this one in 2021. And now we go for a third one. And what about the Instagram post this morning? What did he write? What did he write?
No more Mr. Nice Guy.
This is what everyone wants.
Bro,
right?
I'm telling you. I told you.
What does that mean, though? What does that mean? Are you going to start insulting him?
I did this thing the other day, right, about mental warfare on a detail clip I put out.
Plug it. Where's it?
Which
detail
ESPN clip, Plus. Which ESPN Plus today goes live, goes through both of the McGregor versus Poirier fights. I talked about the mental warfare. And Dustin even spoke to it himself. The aura of Conor McGregor was gone. Well, part of that aura is you know that at every turn he's taking shots at you. He's making you feel inadequate. He's a bit of a jerk, right? But that's okay. That was part of his game. This last approach seemed a little bit different. Did not seem like Conor McGregor was the same guy. It seems like he's going to go back to trying to be the guy that he was. The guy with a bit of an edge, right? The guy with a bit of an edge is usually the people. The guy with a bit of an edge is usually the guy that people tune in for. Mm-hmm. Floyd Mayweather has a bit of an edge. Oscar De La Hoya had an edge. Mike Tyson has an edge. Like, those are the guys. Conor has an edge. Those are the guys.
Stop being the businessman. Stop being the philanthropist for a second.
Bro, I think you got it. You cannot forget that also plays. Mike Tyson was so crazy that by the time you went to the fight with him, you were like, man, this dude's out of his mind. So he won a lot of fights before he even got out there, right? Conor would do that to people too. I don't think that the approach that he was in last time allowed for him to have that same impact on Dustin. And now it may be too late because Dustin just might not care anymore after knocking him out in the way that he did.
It's a tough call.
Think it's too – I honestly think if you're McGregor, why not take some time to try to develop some tactics for
those things that issued
– I know, but why not take some time? So you think that by May, Conor can shore up that big hole that Dustin found in 3-4 months? Can he shore that up already?
He believes that inactivity was a problem. He wants to get back on the horse. Remember, when he lost to Diaz, 5 months later, he came back, and he was banged up after the first Diaz fight, and also – beat Diaz in August, came back relatively quickly, came back 3 months later after he was banged up in that fight to fight Eddie Alvarez. So I think Conor is at his best when he is active.
No, I do. I understand the activity. But in the Diaz fight, right, it looked like Conor thought he was going to knock him out, and he fatigued himself. Conor got kind of pieced up in that fight with the leg kicks. That's something that you have to take time to fix. You have to take time learning how to see him coming. You got to take time to kind of figure out how to check and defend those kicks, because why wouldn't you go back to that well if you're Dustin Poirier?
We're about to find out a lot more about who Conor McGregor is at this point in his career in this fight than in the second fight, in the fight that just happened. This is the fight where we will find out, is the run coming to an end? Has he lost some miles on his fastball, all that stuff? We're about to find out how
Where's the boy Nate Diaz?
Nate Diaz? I'm about to talk to Nate Diaz.
That's what I'm wondering. Like,
what do you think he's going to say?
I mean, please tell me the boy Nate Diaz is coming back. Like, come on, Nate Diaz.
Yes, but is he coming back at 170 or 155?
I want to see him back at 55.
He wants to fight at 55.
He wants to fight just at 70?
Well, according to his tweets, that's why I want to talk to the guy. I've been trying to talk to him for like 8 months at this point.
And he's going to talk to you?
We're talking this
week. Call me. Call me, please. Let me know what Nate Diaz says. I don't want to know what Nate Diaz says on the interview. I want you to tell me the inside, the inside scoop. Yeah, give me the inside.
Ferguson called him out. Would you like to see that? Or would you like to see the Poirier fight?
Whoever's going to get him close to a chance. That's the problem, though. You throw Nate into the equation, Nate goes out and puts it on Tony Ferguson. Again, I'm not saying Nate's going to beat Tony, for the record, but if he does... Yeah. Now, if you're Charles Oliveira and you were sitting out at number 5, what if Nate looks great and those other two are fighting and you're still
I know he wants to come back. I could tell he's in shape. I hope he says, you know, all the things that we want to hear, and I hope that he gets a fight soon, because I feel like we wasted 2020 with Nate Diaz. The Masvidal fight was going to happen. Now it's not going to happen. It looks like Masvidal versus Covington. It looked like for a second we were going to get Conor Nate 3. I don't know. I just want to see the guy fight. If it's at 170, it's at 155. I'm curious to see him fight at 155, but I just don't think he wants to cut that weight anymore.
He used to cut a lot of weight. Yeah. Whatever. Wherever Nate wants to fight, I'm ready to fight. But if Nate wants to fight and challenge for a championship, especially with the guys that are in the weight class today, there's never been a better time for him to be fighting at 155.
Amazingly, this guy is sitting back. Dustin, Gaethje, Conor, all saying his name, right?
Yeah, it hasn't fought since 2019.
And they're all saying his name. Gaethje's calling him out. Dustin's talking about him. Conor's talking about him. It's pretty amazing. So I can't wait for that. By the way, shout out to you. That clip right there that you posted, that detail clip, that wasn't just a breakdown. That was feeling right there.
Oh, yeah. And how do people actually try to say people are like, oh, DC, you're overthinking it. No. Look at Dustin Poirier. He actually punches him. Can I tell you something? I talked to him after the fact. I asked him. I said, "Hey, look at this." I go, "Thoughts," and he goes, "People don't understand that it's every moment of every interaction I'm trying to win. So, hey, maybe we did kind of hit. This was something. Maybe we did kind of hit on something with Dustin. I mean, this guy is developing that mental aspect, man. I always spoke to that in the beginning of my career. When the weigh-in, when the press conference, when this. And Dustin Poirier is kind of living that.
Yeah, like that those little things, that's like an ocean. It's as big as you make it. You know what
big
I mean?
As
like,
you make it, right? And that didn't hurt Connor. No. That didn't hurt Connor. But look, and the boy KG, right? KG started a whole thing now because this happens all the time.
I would argue that it's more like a John Stockton thing. He would
kick slapping the ball down.
No, but he would also, he was notorious for putting his shoe on your socks and pushing your socks down and being annoying like that.
Flat tire you.
I guess.
That's stupid. That's not
just kind of getting under your skin in your head.
It does get under your skin. Oh, you're talking about just mental warfare. I'm talking about not allowing you to see the ball go into the hoop.
Yep.
You're not going to get a chance to see the ball go into the hoop with Kevin Garnett. He would run and just, I love that. I love
you could be on fire. The hoop could be as big as an ocean, but you're not going to make it.
I mean, just like when Michael Jordan's like, I can't make another three-pointer. You know, like, I've never done this, right?
He's
like,
that's a feeling, too.
It's a feeling. It's a feeling.
DC.
You're an idiot. You're a complete idiot.
I love you, buddy. I love you. Man, are we ever going to get to do this together? Like, I just want to do this. I want to put my arm around you at the end of the show.
Don't you would never put your arm around. I would. Hey,
this is my guy. Don't you miss me? We haven't seen each other in almost a year in person.
You ever put your arm like that? I'm going to give you one of those little Dustin Poirier punches to the stomach right there. Boom.
You should see my abs now. You should see my abs on a washboard.
And watch Dustin Poirier and Anthony Pettis. When they finished the round, he walks behind him and smacks him on the butt. Dustin Poirier knows how to play the game between, bro. He knows how to play the game in between. He's a dog, though. That's like, hey, I'm on you now. You know, I'm on your
people now. You know, people went to his house and delivered king cakes. He got five king cakes anonymously. How many king cakes have you gotten? Like when you won the light heavyweight title?
When I was the double champion.
Yeah. When you beat Stipe, no king cakes. You get king cakes in.
But I did have. No, we don't have king cakes here, man. This is a Louisiana thing. Like, this is...
You can't go to, like, a Louisiana bakery type of place?
There is no Louisiana bakery, which is...
You should open one.
Listen.
Hey, I have a great idea. You open up a bakery. Call it Laissez le bon temps rouler. That's not good. That's not bad, right?
That's very interesting.
Should we do it together?
No.
My French influence, your French influence.
No, because you're the friend whose ideas are more important than mine. That's you.
That hurts.
You take credit for everything, too.
I didn't get credit for the KG thing. I didn't bring that up on this show.
Yeah, but you didn't tell me that. Like, you had me last night so confused. When I sent you the clip, you go, oh, my God, that's brilliant. Like, it was the first time you saw it, but then you start telling me that you gave it to me. And then I'm sitting around going, did he give it to me? So I sat there for hours last night. You didn't give that to me.
It was great. I played it so well. I said I was honored that you used my idea.
You're such a liar, though. You didn't tell me that. Like, I was like, when I sent it to him, he seemed like it was the first time he saw it, and it was like a great point. But now the dude's telling me he gave it to me. You're such a liar, bro, and you're manipulative.
Wow.
You shouldn't be like that.
Well, the good news is everyone sees it right here. I gave you the idea for the Louisiana bakery.
You didn't give me the idea
for the Louisiana bakery.
And the once bakery. You yes, the bakery. Yes, right. But stop taking credit for my basketball knowledge, because next thing you know, it'll be like, welcome to NBA Courtside. This is Daniel Cormier. I'm sitting here with Giannis Antetokounmpo. Giannis,
that's
I mean, the WWE. You guys are wrestling in the Royal Rumble.
That's
like, don't make – hey, back to you guys. And don't make – you know, this is Daniel Cormier NBA Courtside. You better be careful.
Let me tell you something. Leaving your house ain't too bad. It ain't too bad. You could talk to Giannis.
Especially when you got to fly to Chicago, drive from Chicago to Milwaukee because you're afraid to fly into Milwaukee. Stay overnight. I mean, you drove 8 hours to take a 2-hour flight. You drove to New York, flew to freaking Chicago.
Okay, enough. This is too much information. This is TMI.
You're crazy.
DC, thank you to DraftKings.
I would have flown right into Milwaukee on my private plane.
That would be nice. One day I'll have a PJ myself.
The NBA has a private plane that could have flew you.
Thank you to Manscaped. Thanks to everyone who continues to rate, download,
Manscaped,
subscribe.
Manscaped hooked me up. I just got Manscaped stuff at my house the other day.
And did you like it? Yeah, see?
It's like a thing for my nose. I guess they see my nose hairs on the show.
And the ear, too, right? The ear, too?
Ear trimmer and the nose trimmer. Yeah, I got it. It's nice. It's very nice.
Cologne, too? Did you get the cologne?
I think I got the cologne. I got nice. The ear, nose trim, and the cologne. Wait, did you just get the same box?
Yeah.
Did we get the same box?
Yes.
Who did it?
I think TST did it.
Oh,
I think
my TST. Goodness.
Shout out to Manscaped and TST. And thanks to everyone who continues to rate, download, subscribe, and review. Back next week, same time and place until.
It was a big year, guys. It was a big year. Thank you, guys. We love you so much. We
you
love
can't you. Interrupt the sign off, DC. I mean,
all right, same time, please.
Until then, we say peace. We're out of here.